you, Morag. Both Clark and Charles have agreed to say a few words, tell us a little bit about their perspectives and a little bit of history from the group. So let me just give you a brief bio of Clark Fraser. Needless to say, to give you a true picture of these two gentlemen would take us quite some time, so I have limited myself to just a few choice words. But Frank Clark Fraser was born in Connecticut, spent much of his childhood in Jamaica, but his cultural roots were in Nova Scotia, where he currently resides. He received his MSc and PhD from McGill, then completed medical school at McGill. And you will note that many of the individuals that I am or am going to introduce today actually had much of their training at McGill, again, a testament to this wonderful university that we are all part of. Clark started the first medical genetics clinic in Canada and was one of the founders of the Canadian College of Medical Geneticists. He was the youngest president of the American Society of Human Genetics, the youngest president of the Teratology Society. He also served as president of the Canadian College of Medical Geneticists. He has been professor emeritus at McGill since 1985 and became an officer of the Order of Canada the same year. He has a long and distinguished record of medical genetics research in the areas of teratogenetics, dysmorphology, and genetic counseling. He developed many of the principles of the multifactorial basis of birth defects, as well as the basic principles of genetic counseling that are used in routine practice today. He has published more than 200 works on the genetics of congenital malformations in mice and humans, and he has influenced a generation of physicians and geneticists. Clark, would you like to come up and just say a few words, or you can speak there if you like?
Thanks, Rima, and thank you all for inviting me here, particularly those who have arranged this celebration. It all started in 1937 when I entered Acadia as a pre-med student. I'd always wanted to be a doctor, so I entered pre-med. The Biology 1 course had two lectures in genetics, which I just fell in love with genetics at that point, and I knew right away that that's what I wanted to do. So instead of going into medical school after I graduated from Acadia, I applied to McGill to do graduate work in genetics. The genetics department was quite young at that time, and when I arrived, I was told I could work on whatever was going on in the department. What was going on involved trillium, wheat, spruce budworm, and Drosophila, and mice. Well, I knew immediately I walked into the mushroom. That's what I wanted to do because it was the most medically oriented one. But I couldn't get into the mushroom because there were already two students working in mice. So I had to, my second choice, Drosophila, which was good for me because it taught me the rigor of genetic analysis, which could be done much better in Drosophila than mice at that point. And when I went for my PhD, I was able to get into the mushroom and work on a more human-like condition, baldness. As soon as I got my thesis finished, I went into the Air Force because we were still at war. And I spent a couple of years learning to be a bombardier. Never did get overseas, but as soon as I got out, I was able to use veterans' allowances to further my education. And I thought, well, why not medical school? Maybe I can use my genetics in medicine and be the kind of doctor I always wanted to be. So I went into medical school, and in third year pediatrics, I made myself known to the professor of genetics, of pediatrics, Alton Goldbloom, and his second in command and successor, Alan Ross. And they were two of the very few people at that time that could see how important genetics might be in pediatrics. So they encouraged me to stay at McGill and do something in pediatrics, bring genetics into pediatrics. Alan Ross discovered that instead of an internship at that point, you could do a year of clinical research. So I spent my year of clinical research starting the Division of Medical Genetics at the Children's Hospital. I was very well received there, I must say, and I think a lot of the credit for the growth of our structure came from the really special atmosphere of the Children's. It was a small group, and they respected each other and had a remarkable esprit de corps and affection for each other, which I think still may exist, which I have found in very few other places. So that's how I started the Division of Medical Genetics and became Canada's first medical geneticist. Some people speak of me as a leader, but I really didn't feel like a leader. I felt more like I'd been cast up on a foreign shore and had to find my way around using my own resources, because there weren't any examples to follow. So after I began collecting data at the Children's Hospital and nagging the residents about taking proper family histories and so on, I eventually got a bit frustrated by going to rounds and saying, this child has a genetically autosomal recessive disease, and that means there's a 1 in 4 chance that it will happen again in his subsequent siblings. Well, all right, but what was the gene doing? And so when Charles appeared on the scene, I welcomed him with open arms, really the answer to my prayers, because he was doing something about finding out what genes do and maybe doing something about it. So there were some worries about whether we would be able to get along. Two empire builders inhabiting the same turf might be trouble, but it never was. I wasn't an empire builder, and we grew together, I think, very, very productively and certainly very amicably. Then cytogenetics appeared on the scene. I tried to get the people at McGill interested, and there were some very good cytogeneticists in the genetics department at McGill. And I tried to get them in on the ground floor, but they were reluctant. I think they were feeling a bit threatened, perhaps. And so it took 3 years before we got any cytogenetics going at McGill. And that was when Louis Dallaire, who did a pediatric residency at the Children's, and saw how cytogenetics might be good for medicine, and he asked if he could do a PhD with me. And I didn't know anything about cytogenetics, nothing more than having done squashed Drosophila glands to look at their very big chromosomes, but that was a long time back. Anyway, we chose a problem that was a clinical orientation, and he produced a very successful thesis. And we couldn't find a lab for him either at the Children's or in the genetics department. The Dean of Medicine found him a lab in the medical building, which was now the anatomy building. And he did all his work there when he graduated and wanted to set up a service lab. We had to find a lab space at the Douglas, because there still wasn't any room at the hospital or the university. So there we were with biochemical genetics and cytogenetics and clinical genetics and teratology. when the MRC, by the way, treated me very kindly. I used to send a grant application in that said, this is what I'm doing, and here's what I'm hoping to do, but I can't tell you exactly the details because I don't know what I'm going to see in the next few years in the wards who are the people that give me the ideas of where to go. And they seemed to like that. At least they didn't throw me out. And I think they liked maybe what's now called translational research, but although I don't think there was that term then. Anyway, when the MRC developed this idea of group grants, you know, we suddenly realized we might be a group. And I think Charles did most of the organizing and negotiating and all that stuff. And so he was certainly the doer. And so therefore I call upon Charles to take up the story from now.
So we're delighted that we can also hear a few words from Charles Scriver. Or Charles, I must tell you that it took me 15 years after leaving his lab in order to be able to call him just Charles as opposed to Dr. Scriver. But Dr. Scriver completed his BA in medical degrees from McGill as well. He received training in London in biochemical genetics and then returned to McGill in 1960 and has been at McGill since that time, devoting his career to the diagnosis and treatment of genetic disease. Charles and colleagues established the Quebec Network for genetic Medicine for Newborn Screening in Quebec, and he was one of the founders, co-directors of the Canadian Genetic Diseases Network. He has served as president of the Society for Pediatric Research, the president of the Canadian Society for Clinical Investigation, president of the American Society of Human Genetics, the Society for the Study of Inherited Metabolic Disease, and the American Pediatric Society. He's a fellow of the Royal Society of Canada, the Royal Society London, and the American Association for the Advancement of Science. He holds 5 honorary degrees and has been inducted into the Canadian Halls of Fame for Medicine, for Science and Engineering, and he has held numerous awards in service, education, and research. He has been editor of the Metabolic and Molecular Bases of Inherited Disease, which is the Bible of biochemical genetics, and he has published over 600 works. Charles?
I think the obvious thing to say is thank you for those kind words, and also it's been a privilege to have been on this journey with such wonderful colleagues at this wonderful university. It is a historical look back as well as a looking forward, so maybe this little verse would help to set the scene. Yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift, and we call it the present. And I'm delighted to know that McGill is interested in doing a formal historical analysis of how we got to be here today and what were the events that made it possible. Because McGill is entering on new developments in the MUHC structure, but also on the campus in the McGill structure. And it would be nice to know what worked in the past and to continue those supportive structures that make working at McGill interesting and wonderful. So I thought I could do, in addition to thanking the people who brought this day into being and have been supporting us all the days, would be interesting to consider 2 early events that are perspectives for me. After we won that initial competition at the MRC to create a group, it seemed wonderful. Of course, our science was good, so that wasn't the answer. What was the answer? Because the competition was very impressive. And I learned, we learned from speaking to the president and others, that one of the tricks that worked at McGill's for McGill's application was that not only did we do the transforming type of science to create that body of knowledge, but we also were interested in translating it in ways that served individuals, families, and society. And Arnold Steinberg has addressed one of those themes, which was high profile and helpful. So I would suggest that one of the things that we continue to be strong in is the translational aspect of our work. The other thing that happened in that initial term was Malcolm Brown. Not many people in the room will remember him, but he was a very imposing presence. And he came into the humble quarters that were medical genetics at the Montreal Children's Hospital, and he walked around and looked and so forth, asked some questions, and then very quietly, as he was walking out of our area, said, "I will not be sending any money to McGill until they give you a decent place to work." Money talks. And a team of people, including Arnold and others at McGill, made it possible for us to have a lab. We took over an empty floor in the nurses' quarters, and in order to get the space that we now have, or we then had, what we did as individuals in the tentative MRC group was to ask each of ourselves what it is we want. And there was a dialogue that went on with the architects and the hospital. And if I have a suggestion to make to the MUHC for its initiative beginning, we hope, next month in building, I suggest that you spend a lot of time talking to the people who are going to use the space. Because the people who use the space are the ones who will use it most and benefit from it most. And rather than have a top-down approach to what is good for you, I think it would be very nice if there was a bottom-up approach to say, this, we think, will work. And it did in our case, and that's, I think, one of the reasons why the group has lasted so long and been so productive. There are other factors in our continuing success. I do believe that this institution that we call McGill, the Montreal Children's Hospital, and all the other ones involved have been very benevolent in their approach to us, and I formally express my gratitude on this day. By the way, there is an interest in creating a formal historical approach to this, and Chris Canning is a new member of the team who will be doing that. I suggest that we tell him when he comes to interview us what we think made it a place that worked and was efficient in its outcome. So that's another way of saying the bottom-up approach seems to work very well. I think it's one of the reasons for our success, and that would be, in my opinion, better than a top-down approach, telling people what to do. The other thing that seemed to be so important was the colleague environment. We didn't have much space initially, but we still were able to play chess by putting the board on the vertical and putting magnets on the bottom of the pieces and playing our games in the lab, things like that. We were given an opportunity, and we honored it in our particular world of facts and values. We have a responsibility when we're given an opportunity to do things such as we did, and I think we fulfilled the responsibility as best as we could. So Kant offered an aphorism that I learned in college and have used ever since. Immanuel Kant, the philosopher, said, "What can I know? And with that knowledge, what ought I do?" And I think we did reasonably well in finding out what we can know. And I think one of the happy secrets of the group was we figured out how to use it and to put that knowledge to work. I have one other thing in my bag here for today, just to show you that we do come from a position of authority. I have a picture of myself standing next to Gregor Mendel. Thank you.